Eights.
Mystery.
Monsters.
Mayhem.
Okay. Now we're recording?
Yep.
Let's get that chit-chat out of the way. Another podcast, some more chit-chat.
I just wanted it to start with you opening a beer. That's all.
Well, you hear me. Bunk.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's good Foley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thinking about Russ Cole now. Even though it's not a Lone Star, it's cool.
It's fine. So much quieter out here than it is on the microphones.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Living the real world.
The quiet life.
Not great.
No! I got really excited as soon as you said that. No!
Yeah.
It's not!
So you got a Coors over there?
Yeah,
I got
Coors.
Some Crystal Light.
For a quick second, as soon as you said crit, I was like, meth. Crystal meth.
Crystal Light.
Crystal Light.
It's delicious.
Crystal Light sounds like she could be a country singer, similar to Crystal Gale, but like a knockoff.
Or a stripper.
Well, yeah, either or. A stripper who is a country singer, Crystal Light.
Ooh, that's not bad. Who the hell rustled up and broke my goddamn Crystal Gale albums?
Yep. And I kind of wonder if I Google search country singer / stripper Crystal Light, if something will pop up.
It'll something.
Probably.
Oh, buddy.
That'll be fun.
Something
I wonder what kind of songs she sings.
Something will definitely
Oh, I know what kind of song she sings.
What?
Toots and Boots.
Oh, yeah.
Toots and Boots.
A classic new genre that we created.
Today.
Not even 2 hours ago.
Yeah. And what does Toots and Boots stand for?
Scootin' Boots and Prostitutes.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. That's a country song by Crystal Light. Toots and Boots.
Yes. Okay.
It will accompany the, it's a good, you always do on your podcast, double features. Like
yeah.
You review a movie and then you ask your guest, what would you double feature it with?
The Carly question.
Yes. The Carly question. Yep. Shout out to Carly.
Whoop, whoop.
Yep.
Yup. Nope.
Woo, Carly. Yes, have some.
That is the loudest yub nub you're ever going to get out of me.
Yeah, it's good.
I might just keep the headphones on. This is kind of nice.
You look good.
Thank you. You too.
You look good.
These are the headphones I use for my gaming.
Oh, I know. I see you playing games every night.
But I push the mic in so
yeah.
they look
more. It looks cool. You look professional. But a double feature of Toots and Boots would be the other country song that has yet to be written, S'mores and Whores.
Ah, yes.
That title technically comes from my friend, the touring Colombian.
It's a fall favorite.
It is. We were talking about going on a camping trip and what would make a camping trip good. And I said, well, we were talking about, well, s'mores, that's a classic.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're a s'more guy, but I love s'mores.
Yes, yeah.
Especially
course.
On an actual fire, melted marshmallow.
Baby.
With some graham cracker and some chocolate that's all thick and viscous. And then, you know.
Sub the Hershey's. For a Reese's cup, though.
Oh, yeah, that too?
Yeah.
Oh, that's extra.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, throw in some whores. S'mores and whores.
It's the oldest
it's
profession.
The best camping trip I can possibly think of. So, that's the ultimate double feature country album. Crystal Light doing Toots and Boots.
Yeah.
And S'mores and Whores. I'm not sure who's going to do S'mores and Whores.
Randy Travis? I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Jim Cornette of wrestling.
Yeah.
Now, Jim Ross doesn't like me because he knows that I am a country singer, and I've got a new song coming out called S'mores and Whores.
I can't do a good Jim Cornette, and you don't really even...
I don't even really
Wrestling
know.
Is fairly
no,
new to you.
It is.
And yet, somehow, you have mastered the Jim Cornette, and it's the way you do your S's.
Yeah.
It's a perfect cornet.
Yeah. I hope people out there listening are like, I hope they understand this, but most likely they're like, this is just the stupidest bullshit. This is the stupidest intro, but I like it.
It's a dumb show.
It is a dumb show.
It's fine. They
it's
know.
It's a dumb show for fun people.
Yeah.
Yeah, but life's not life. How's life for you?
It's okay.
Hit me up with
it's okay.
It.
What's it's going just okay.
On? All right.
Job sucks.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
It always will.
You've got, how many managers have you been through? 15? 20?
In 2 years, 13.
Oh, that's actually not far off.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Soon to be 14.
Yep. Told you. I still think you should take the manager job.
I threw it his way.
Did you tell him 70,000?
I told him 75.
Good.
4 days a week.
Yeah.
He stopped in his tracks. I saw him doing calculations in his head.
Yeah. Hey, you're worth it.
And I said, I don't even need the bonus. Don't worry about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'll give you one back. No bonus for me, baby.
No bonus needed.
Nope.
No bones about it.
No. But you'll do the job.
I would do.
For $75,000?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
It's not going to happen.
No, it's not, but it was fun to throw that out there.
Shoot,
I'm glad
shot.
You did that.
You know, you miss all the something about sports.
If you don't shoot the shoot,
yeah,
you shot the scraps. I don't fucking know the
yes.
thing either. I don't care.
If you will it, dude, you will achieve.
Is that... I don't know.
It's from Big Lebowski.
I know. I know. It's, Yes! Yes!
Yeah, I gotta take these headphones off. It's almost too much.
Okay.
The world is almost too... Wow,
yeah,
just,
I got,
it's so different out
I
here.
I got some life news, and then we'll get into
yeah,
the episode.
Please.
So
for the people.
For the people! Some of you know that my life has changed in drastic ways. I had to move from Illinois to
yeah.
Indiana.
Yeah.
I haven't had a car in like 7 months. Do you know what that's like, not having a car for 7 months?
Yeah, I didn't have a car for 21 years.
Okay, let me rephrase that. Do you know what it's like to not have a car for 7 months while trying to run a business that you're making a live off of that requires you to constantly go to Menards and or the post office in the same day?
Kinda.
Yeah, it sucks. It sucks.
Kinda. Yeah.
When I lived in Champaign, it was tolerable because I could walk to those places, and I did every day.
Yeah.
And I ended up losing a lot of weight, actually, which
yeah.
happens when you walk like 3 to 4 miles a day.
Don't forget about not eating because of depression.
Yes, that's true. But here, where I'm living with you, there's nothing in walkable distance, really. Like the post office...
Yeah, there is, but it's just, it's a lot further.
Yeah.
It's probably like double the distance.
But I worked my ass off, saved up money, and I
yeah.
bought a used car.
Yeah.
I went through hell to get it, though, because...
Yeah.
Yeah, I have great credit. I have really good credit, surprisingly, but I don't really have credit history, so no bank was willing to give me a loan. But the fine people at the Indiana Credit Members Bureau of something, I don't remember the name.
This is a credit union.
Credit union. Yeah, they gave me a check for a car, and I bought a car.
Yeah.
First week and a half of the car was awesome. Awesome! I mean... It's a used car, has some mileage on it, but it's a Japanese car. Carfax is good, clean, you know?
Yeah.
It's nice, one owner, no accidents. It had a history of its, what do you call those? Services,
yeah.
oil changes,
yeah, yeah,
and all that.
Yeah.
So, but then I had some rotors and pads put on it, you know, as you do. And then now there is a constant, unending squeal as I drive, like
yeah.
a pig.
Yeah. Have you determined... If you can find which side of the car it is, or do you think
it's the
both?
Left side? I think it's the left side.
Okay.
Left front.
Yeah.
And I took it back to the people that put on the brakes, which they are highly recommended
yeah.
and highly rated. Your buddy John goes there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, so they fixed it. They made an adjustment, no charge, and I was like, cool. You know, they said some parts for rubbing. That happens. You get some rubbins.
You do.
You
yeah.
get some rubbins and nubbins.
You get some fish dippins.
Oh,
and some
my
rubbins
God,
and
I
nubbins.
Love you put some fish dippins on a plate.
Yeah.
You got yourself some rubbins and nubbins, baby.
You certainly do.
Some
that's
s'mores, whores, rubbins, nubbins, toots, boots.
Scoots.
And scoots. New
and
boots
scoots.
Scooting.
Yeah.
And then I drove back, and the
squeakening.
The pig came back.
The squeakening returns.
So then I went a third time to a different place to be like, hey, can you look at this? Just tell me what you find. And
yeah.
they're like, we can't find anything wrong with your brakes. We don't know why there's a noise.
That almost tells me that they don't... Because there is a thing wrong.
I would assume there's a reason why...
They gotta be pretty bad if they can't find the reason that it's doing
squeaking. I don't know. Of course, they found other things wrong with the car.
I think...
Not necessarily bad things, just...
I think these are mechanics that are trying to squeeze you.
Maybe. I don't know.
I really do.
I'm now taking the car for it...
Technically fourth time...
To figure out why my car squeals like a pig when I'm
yeah.
driving.
Yeah.
And it didn't before when I bought it.
Lightly.
Well, yeah, but the light squeal was just when I would use the brakes, and I think that was just regular brakes being repaired.
Four-year-olds.
died. Four-year-old boy
yeah.
died. So either way, if you were hoping to see me in Memphis, I have bad news. I will not be going to Memphis because I don't really feel like driving a squealing pig to Memphis through the various states between here and
Memphis. I mean, there's also the possibility that like maybe a rotor is like was bent or like wasn't put up flush.
I don't, you know. Yeah. I
so
don't
then you
know.
Just have rubbing for
rubbins and rubbins.
Hours.
So either
miles,
way,
that could heat up. And
good news is, I got a car now.
Yes.
Bad news is, I'm paying for a car that at this point I can't drive anywhere.
Well, this is where you and I differ.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you'd be like, fuck it.
I don't give a fuck.
I know.
What's the worst that'll happen?
It breaks down while you're, like, in Raleigh, North Carolina?
Yeah, but I didn't have a car before.
That's true.
Now I'm back to not having a car.
Now, I want to get my shit taken care of.
Yeah.
I want something good. I want to win, goddammit. I just want a W. Just one fucking W.
There's no such thing as winning.
I know. Not for us.
There's light victories.
Yes.
But an overarching victory, those don't exist.
You know what's a light victory?
What?
Swig of this course, baby.
As a alcoholic?
Mm. wins are subjective to the person in question.
That's true.
So what,
that's true.
I'm gonna say
people in Chicago have been thinking the Cubs have been winning for decades.
People in Chicago.
They haven't been.
People in Chicago think Malort is good.
They had almost 100 years of quote-unquote victory.
Yeah.
They didn't.
But they were fun to watch.
They put salads on their hot dogs. It's not a win.
No, it's not. I also saw in Chicago, they're now selling Malort-flavored popcorn. All I gotta say is, Chicago, I'm sorry. What the fuck is wrong with you?
What the fuck are you doing over there?
It is... Stop. Just stop. Just, you know what? Just fuck you.
Fuck
you.
Fucking Malort, man. They got that shit on a tap at the Kumas.
Get out.
Down the street.
Come on.
Yeah, it's fucked
up. Has John tried Malort?
Yeah.
Curious what he thinks of it.
Yeah, no, every asshole has tried Malort.
We're going to be getting some messages.
It's one of those things that think so necessarily in Chicago, but I think it's one of those things around here that you're like, give it a try. Like, yeah. When it's someone's, like, new to shots,
Bryce,
and stuff.
I like your show, but seriously, can you cut the crap about Chicago? Because, you know.
Nah.
I know. Nah. It's my show, damn it.
I will not. Malort is actually kind of thick.
It is. It is.
It's so gross. It's like earwax.
I don't. I just don't.
There's flavored versions now, too.
I know. My voice cracked when I said that.
They're making more.
I know.
It's doing well as a business.
I just want my alcohol to taste good.
Or even just fine.
Yeah, that's true, too. Like, I used to drink shitty vodka because it was okay.
Yeah, dude.
McCormick is a shitty bottom-shelf vodka.
Fucking Seagram's gin?
Seagram's was good. The one time we went to Jake's house, he bought me a bottle of Seagram's vodka, and I was like, this is good.
Yeah, it's very bad.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Anywho.
We're done. You know, we're moving on. We're moving on. I tried my darndest to make this a quick episode, and I ended up typing 6 pages last night.
We bitched about Malort for a good 20 minutes.
I know. But we're going to move right on.
Okay.
We're going to talk about something that I think is fun. Yeah. So, here we go. We're doing M3 with E5. Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm your host, Epion. 5 Mystery Monsters and Mayhem.
September edition.
September.
Yeah.
And with me is Brian Aerosol Pro. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm just here.
I'm here.
I'm always here.
But I love to tell you about these things that I learned. And I think you're going to have fun with this one because I did find some cool photos that I'm going to text you and share. So I'm going to get your opinion.
Some would venture to say you did too much.
I did. I get, this is what I do. This is why I get worked up over things like my car. Whereas you'll drive your car because you don't fucking care.
I don't give a shit.
I get worked up,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And then I write songs, work on my finger picking. When you're not here, I run around the house talking about buttered sausage.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
What is that?
Buttered sausage, where does it come from? I don't know. But
my jam.
I buy honey.
Yeah.
And then I kiss it on the lips. That's for you, Johnny B. Hazard.
Yeah, Jonathan B.
Last month, we discussed one of the most famous cryptids of recent time.
Oh, yes.
The mysterious, the perplexing, the ever-so-sexy Triple X Mothman.
Yeah.
Which, if you haven't done so yet, I highly recommend you go back and listen to the Mothman Stuntman Spectacular! Because it was what I consider to be a classic staple of podcasting that focuses on classic creature mythology.
Wow.
How'd you like that?
I'm gonna take that as a compliment.
Yeah, it was good.
Thank you.
Yeah, I thought
you
it was
did
great.
Good too.
Thank you, buddy. But today we are gonna continue that theme with something that I briefly touched on when I mentioned Nessie in that previous Mothman episode. That's right, Nessie!
Nessie!
Choose life, Nessie! Today, we are going to be talking about classic lake monsters.
Oh, boy.
I hear your excitement.
Yeah.
Now, just for clarification, this is where I start getting super nerdy. There is a distinct difference between the monsters of the sea and the monsters of the lakes.
Freshwater.
Exactly. No, yeah, you're not wrong, Walter. As for sea serpents, sea beasts, and krakens, we'll be talking about those at a later date in its own separate episode.
Oh, different waters.
Different waters, different beasts. Yes, exactly. Mm. This episode, however, we're only going to focus on the legends and sightings of lake monsters, of which there are many to speak of.
Like gerblins and ghouls?
There are a lot of gerblins and ghouls. There are a lot of... I looked through the list of known lake monsters.
Yeah.
It was basically nearly every single large-bodied lake throughout the entire world...
Has a monster.
Has a legend, yeah, pertaining to some kind of beast.
What about a swamp monster?
There's swamp monsters.
Is that a different
That's a different episode.
Okay.
Yeah, because we're talking, like, deep lakes. Like,
I think maybe we should save that for, like, when Mardi Gras is happening.
Sure. Because like, there's
down in the bayou,
the Boggy Creek monster.
Yeah, the Boggy Creek.
He smelled like a skunk man. He's a skunk ape, you know.
Yeah. And the Pukwudgies, you know.
I think they take that Boggy Creek monster. That's where they get that from, Malort from.
That's probably actually
they squeeze it out of. Yeah,
his anal. It's Boggy Booze.
It's anal glands.
It's a Boggy Booze.
Yeah.
The
Pukwudgie.
What's that? There's that Bermuda Triangle thing in like New Jersey, right? You know, it's like Native American Bermuda Triangle thing.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know
yeah,
what I'm talking about?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's a bog, too.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most of New Jersey's kind of considered a bog.
Really. We're rewatching Aqua Teen, and I'm like, yeah.
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 It's pretty accurate.
It is highly accurate for a show that was made on the fly.
Right down to the abundance of above ground pools.
And sweatpants.
Yeah.
As to not bore you on such an extensive list of lake monsters, I'm only going to be talking about three of what I consider to be the most famous and well-known of lake monsters. We're going to be talking about Champ.
Yes.
Nessie.
Yes.
And Ogopogo.
Oh.
Ogopogo.
I love Danny Elfman.
Yes. Yes.
Question.
Yes, Brian.
We're only doing three.
Yep.
Six pages?
Yes. Yeah.
Fascinating.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Get ready for a ride, people.
Okay.
Little detour in this episode, right off the bat. Little detour.
Should I not be wearing pants?
No. It's fine.
Okay. I'm ready for the ride.
I've seen everything.
It's too late.
After recording last month's episode, I had already decided that we were going to do an episode about Champ, Nessie, and Ogopogo. At that same time, I was binging the Venture Brothers episodes.
Yeah.
And in the opening sequence of one of the episodes, I don't remember specifically which season, there were two random henchmen of the Monarch were discussing the merits of Champ and Nessie and which one could kick the other's ass. The discussion is interrupted by Henchman 21, who simply says, Ogopogo. And pure coincidence that I just happened to pick the very same three that were being discussed in that episode, which leads me to believe...
This was meant to be.
It was meant to be, and as far as Venture Brothers is concerned, I think I'm Henchman 21. If I had to pick somebody that I think...
Yeah.
I mean, people want to be Brock Sampson, but can anybody be Brock Sampson?
No.
I've got a mustache, but that does not count. I think in the end, I'm Henchman 21, because he and I were basically exact same page about Ogopogo.
With less upper body strength.
Yes.
And dexterity.
Right. So this is off the
wall. You probably eat better than him, surprisingly.
I don't know.
Surprising.
Maybe. So I just got to ask, Brian, which Venture Brothers character do you think you associate with?
Hank.
Hank?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I can see it. I can see it, yeah.
I have a Batman mask in the other room. It's the same mask.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried peeing off the roof?
Here?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Someplace else?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. You're definitely Hank Venture.
Yeah.
All right, let's get back into it. Now, as far as lake monsters are concerned,
Actually, hold on.
Okay.
Does a second story window count as a roof?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Then yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Right, cool.
Yeah,
cool.
I think it's more or less distance. You know?
It's higher than
height.
than a first story roof.
Right.
But it's not the height of a second story
no.
roof. I'm going to count it.
I think it counts.
Thank you.
I think it's legit.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I carry Hank Bucks in my wallet, too, by the way.
You know, I've seen all your lists around the house of, like, your business plans and whatnot, and you are very Hank-co now that I think about it.
Yeah.
You know,
I love hats.
You do. Yeah. And you were very quick to point out that Hank's outfit was related to
Steve McQueen
from
Le Mans.
Yeah. Whereas most of what Henchman 21 says is like, oh, I already knew that. I knew about the Ogopogo.
That's you.
So, as far as lake monsters are concerned, they all have the same general appearance as described by those who have allegedly seen the beast. They are long and slender, serpent-like, with many folks describing a head that resembles a horse. And in some cases, the head having two horn-like structures on the top. Some eyewitnesses will even go so far as to say that the beasts resemble a plesiosaur, an extinct aquatic dinosaur that had a long, slender neck and tail with a round body that had little four flippers, like a little flipper baby.
It would plesia me more if this were true.
well, you know what?
Yeah.
We'll go through the evidence.
All right, let's do it.
What'll happen? So, let's get into the first of the classic three lake monsters, Champ. A lake beast said to inhabit the waters of Lake Champlain with over 300 sightings.
That's a lot of sightings.
It is, actually. Yeah, it's more than I thought.
Yeah.
Lake Champlain is a very large freshwater lake that resides in between New York and Vermont, with a very small portion reaching up to Quebec.
Oh.
Yes, yes. And when I say large...
Good Jerry out there.
I've never been there. I got to get a passport. I think you need a passport now to go to Canada, at least if you're American.
Right. Yeah, no,
so,
that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be a while. But that lake, by the way, it is incredible. It's very large, larger than I thought.
I see bigger.
Well, would you like to guess how long it is?
Champ?
No, the lake.
I can't guess things like that.
125 miles long.
That's pretty long.
That is longer than I thought. Yes, that's a very long lake. Now, the legend of Champ actually has its origins within the beliefs of the indigenous peoples of the land.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, the Abenaki and the Iroquois.
Wow, you knocked out Abenaki like nothing there.
I love Native American First Peoples. Anything related to that? Movies. So
I'm just saying. Sometimes you couldn't even say 4-year olds.
No,
once.
I can't.
English, but Abenaki.
English words
in and out.
Nope.
Maybe.
I have no fucking clue. Words to a song? Nope. No fucking clue.
Yeah.
Native American, I will do what I can to fucking nail it. Yeah, the insane. Abenaki and the Iroquois. They believed that the lake was inhabited by a large snake-like serpent that had two horns. And their name for the beast was Kitasgok.
Okay, that one was a little rough.
That one's rough.
Quetzalcoatl.
Quetzalcoatl. Yeah.
Give me the name one more time.
Let me see. Kitasgok.
Kitasgok?
Kitasgok.
All right.
Yeah. The belief of this creature was so strong that the Abenaki warned early French explorers in the 1700s to not disturb the waters of the lake. Otherwise, you just might suffer the wrath of Gitisgok. The first supposed sighting by a white man was in 1609 by the French cartographer Samuel de Champlain.
Ooh.
Yeah, the founder of Quebec and the lake's namesake.
Well, the guy who was like, this is mine now.
Exactly. Yeah. The white name.
Yeah.
Namesake. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because I don't know what the Indian name, native name for the lake was.
Right.
Samuel de Champlain. Yeah. It's after him. Supposedly, Samuel saw a large 20-foot long serpent with a body as wide as a barrel and a head like a horse. Sorry, every time I read that head like a horse, I instantly want to go, black as a soul, I'd rather die than ride that horse, bow down before the champ you serve. So, yeah, a little Nine Inch Nails for you. But over the years, countless individuals saw something strange in the waters of Lake Champlain. Large wakes being created by something big swimming under the surface, with a few folks supposedly seeing a creature of flesh and blood.
Ugh.
In 1819, it was reported that a Captain Crumb... Yeah, I know. Cool. I instantly think of Captain Crunch. That's what I like to imagine he looks like.
Yeah, yeah.
Captain Crumb.
Not an actual captain.
No, not at all. I think he was actually an admiral.
I think he was an admiral.
Doesn't matter.
His eyebrows are on his hat.
That is true.
I don't trust him.
No. No.
Those are fake eyebrows.
Yeah.
This guy's got alopecia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't trust him.
No.
But Captain Crumb saw a beast that looked like a large serpent with three large teeth and eyes that looked like peeled onions. His description.
Oh.
It had a belt of red color around its neck and a white star on its forehead.
What?
It had a white mark on
his
forehead.
This guy's a fucking idiot.
He probably did have eyebrows on his hat.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's got three teeth.
I've seen him,
he got three teeth.
You know what his eyes look like?
Onion.
Peeled onions.
I saw some onions.
I just want to eat those onions. That made me cry, but I'll tell you what, it might make me feel good inside, you know?
This dude just ate some fucking crazy mushrooms.
It's good to cry.
And just kind of lost himself in his stew. That's all it was.
Yeah. Captain Crumb.
Yeah.
Obviously, with a name like that, he was not a... That was probably the name the locals gave him. Like, oh, here comes Captain Crumb.
Fucking crummy.
You got some onions I can peel? Sure, Captain. Here you go, Crumb. Here's your onions.
He's a simple boy.
He was a simple boy. In 18... Here's a little... It gets a little... Now, yeah. Captain Crumb might not be able to trust Crumb, but we can trust this next guy. 1883, local sheriff, Nathan Moonin. And if I know anything, you can trust the cops.
ACAB, baby.
Nathan Mooney, sheriff of the town,
Mooney?
Saw a serpent in the waters of Lake Champlain that he estimated to be about 25 feet long with large white spots in its mouth. After the sheriff told his tale of what he saw, many locals felt safe enough to come forward with their own tales of having seen Champ.
Sure.
They didn't want to be embarrassed, but they figured if the sheriff did it, we can too.
So they all just kind of went down to the lake and just started opening fire on a body of water.
Yep. Captain Crumb was there just tossing onions.
Yeah.
The excitement surrounding this supposed beast of the lake was so palpable, so intense, that in 1873... P.T. Barnum himself, famous for Barnum and Bailey Circus, offered $50,000 to anyone who could bring Champ to him, dead or alive.
Wow.
And this is my favorite part of doing these episodes. Adjusted for inflation today, that $50,000 would be over $1,200,000.
That's crazy.
That is a lot of money to offer somebody for.
That is insane.
A dead or alive something.
A dead snake.
Dead snake, yes. However, these past sightings of Champ they're all really just stories passed down from one person to another, occasionally featured in a local newspaper. It wasn't until 1977 that we got the photographic proof that may or may not convince you of Champ's existence. In 1977, Sandra Mancy was on vacation with her family around Lake Champlain when she spotted something rising out of the waters offshore. It looked like a dinosaur. It had a long, curved, slender neck with a small head and a sheen-like appearance upon its skin, much like that of a reptile or a snake. Using her Kodak Instamatic camera, she snapped a photo before the creature supposedly went back underwater.
I like that you got the product placement in there.
Thank you. I mean, that is the camera she used.
Yeah.
The photo is in color, and dare I say it, I think it's far more interesting than the famous surgeon's photo of Nessie.
Oh, yeah, that photo is bullshit.
Yeah. Now, near the end of this episode, we'll get into the specifics of that photo.
Yeah.
And we'll get into the specifics of this photo and its validity, maybe or maybe not. Mm. But for now, Brian, I'm going to text you that photo so you can take a look at it.
Ooh. It's an AV episode.
Yeah, I just want to get your general opinion of what you see.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Take a look at it. Just tell me what you think.
Slowden. That's a pretty cool picture. It's not really a good way to see scale on it, you know?
Okay.
Or scales
on
it,
if you
catch my drift,
because
this is not the HD era. Yeah, that could just be some wood.
Yeah. Okay. No, I just want your opinion.
Could also... That could be a fucking... I don't know. Could be a tire. Could be just some trash. I don't really know. It's a cool looking picture,
though. It is. compared to the famous Nessie photo.
Yeah, this is way better than that.
It's a really cool photo. Yeah. And it's cool that it was 1977 color. There you go. But that is the supposed photo of Champ rising out of the waters offshore. Now, that color photo of Champ isn't the only supposed visual proof of his existence. In 2005, 64-year-old Dick Folter and his stepson, 35-year-old Pete Baudette, were fishing on Lake Champlain. Now, both men, being well-respected locals who have both fished on the lake their entire lives, they did not believe in Champ.
These are my guys.
Exactly. Now, while fishing on the lake, they saw something large just under the surface of the water about 100 feet from their boat. It submerged, but reappeared about 30 minutes later, and at that point, they were able to watch it for a solid 45 minutes. The creature kept pointing or sticking what appeared to be the tip of its snout out of the water, and eventually, the creature swam towards their boat, swimming directly under the two gentlemen while they were filming it with a digital camcorder.
Cool.
Kind of reminds me of the scene from Jaws. Now, in the video, you can see something long and slender with two sets of identical fins just under the surface passing directly under the boat. I originally saw this video in the...
Cow.
I was trying to think. No, I'm going to say no.
No,
I think
it probably isn't. But I mean, you know, you do get those stories from like back in the day of like sailors thinking that a manatee is a sea monster.
I really think the manatee is considered like the mermaid.
Yeah, they just want to hug.
No, I mean, honestly, they're cute.
They're sweet boys.
I love them. I originally saw this video in the early days of YouTube, and the version that I saw was unedited and crystal clear.
Ooh, that uncut goodness. That
it was.
Uncut Champ goodness.
And I remember seeing the snout popping out of the water numerous times. And during the duration, you can hear the guys being like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
You know, like they were confused. And
Baudette don't know.
Baudette don't know. And Dick a Falter. Dick a Falter. Yep. I saw the body and the fins pass under the boat. And when I saw that back then, it gave me genuine chills and goosebumps.
Mm.
Like, I was like, what the fuck? Because just like the two men in the video, whatever it was, it didn't look like anything I had ever seen before. So I actually had goosebumps, literal goosebumps.
Yeah.
Sadly.
You've been chasing that high ever since.
Yes. Sadly, that unedited original video is long gone.
Wow.
I tried to find it on the internet to no avail. Mm. I only found one copy of it on YouTube, and it is just a clip that was featured on an ABC news segment, and they only show a few seconds of the video.
Hmm.
And what they do show is edited because they're talking over it, and the small clip that is on YouTube is very pixelated. So it's a bummer, and I was like, I kept thinking, like, what the fuck? I remember it being
the whole video.
So I did a little, in looking, I found that there are a lot of people who remember that video, and they're like, this is not the full video. Turns out that video is being detained by a lawyer that they hired.
Wow.
So it is not being released to the public.
Huh.
They pulled it. They somehow pulled it off the net.
Yeah.
And the only copy is one news segment featured on YouTube, and that's it.
That's crazy.
I did find it, and we don't have to include this if you don't want to. I can send you the link if you want to watch it.
Yeah. I'll check it out later.
Moving on from Champ, let's head to the beautiful land of Scotland and its most infamous freshwater lake, the Loch Ness.
Yeah. What's the player stats on the Loch?
Well,
how big is that bitch?
This particular lake.
Yeah.
It's a bit smaller when compared to Lake Champlain.
Mm, see, I told you I saw bigger.
Mm-hmm, exactly. This lake only measures 23 miles long.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a lot. That is a lot smaller.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
And at 100 less.
At one point, it was connected to the ocean.
Yes.
So, but within these dark, deep, and I should point that out, Loch Ness, the waters are very murky.
Yeah.
If you go swimming in the loch or scuba diving, you can't see more than a few feet in front of your face. It is not a clear lake at all.
Much like Scotland's history. Very murky. Yes.
Yes.
Choose life.
I you know what I do? I do choose life.
Yeah.
You know, I do choose a washing machine. But within those deep, dark, and murky waters exists one of the most famous lake monsters of all time, the Loch Ness Monster, otherwise known as Nessie.
Nessie's, Nessie's pretty famous. I'd put Nessie on, like, the Mount Rushmore.
I'd say so. Cryptids. And there's a reason why I think she is famous, and we'll get into that. Has to do with that one photo.
Yeah. It's pretty famous.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a great photo.
It is not. there's so much history regarding Nessie that we could do an entire episode just devoted to her.
Yeah.
It'd be heavily detailed, extremely boring perhaps, but not to me. I would revel in the excitement.
Mm.
So instead, I'm just going to focus on a few fun Nessie moments. Similar to Champ. Ooh. Ooh, the legend of Nessie has existed for hundreds of years. The Scottish saint, Adamnan, was an abbot of Iona. And around the year 1697, he wrote about the life of Saint Columba, who lived about 100 years prior. In writing about Saint Columba, Adamnan recounted a tale that is considered to be the very first published account of Nessie. The
origins.
Yes. In this tale, Saint Columba was staying near the loch when he encountered some locals who were burying a man by the River Ness. The locals had informed Saint Columba that the man was swimming across the river, because there's rivers connected to the loch, swimming across the river when he was attacked by a water beast that mauled him, dragged him underwater, and drowned him to his death.
I was attacked by a water beast. Dragged me underneath. Gotta kill him.
A fat water beast. Water beast is described as being fat.
It's a big fat water beast.
It's a fat boy. A fat cunt. I don't think they had the word cunt back then.
A long pig.
Oh, yeah. A long shank.
A long shank.
A long shank fucking pig.
Aye, we call them long shanks out here.
Aye, that fucking long shank water beast. I like saying cunt, but that's just me. Saint Columba was so intrigued by the water beast, this part kind of makes me laugh, that he instructed one of his followers to swim across the river.
Did you get your fat ass out there?
Do you love Jesus?
You like swimming?
You like Jesus, do you? You like swimming? Do you want to be forgiven in heaven? Swim across the river, you daft cunt. And so the man did.
Yeah.
As he did, the beast emerged from the waters to attack, at which point St. Columba made the sign of the cross and began to shout towards the monster, "Go no farther! Do not touch the man! Go back at once!" Of course, in my mind, he's like Gandalf. But I thought of him more along the lines of that drunk fuck from American Werewolf in London who says, "That's enough! That's enough!
You made me miss." This guy's name's Columba, and I want it to be Peter Falk. just one more question.
Yeah, you
just give me one more question.
You know what? Go no further. Do not touch the man. Just go back. Go back at once.
Yeah. Grandpa!
there you go. A little Princess Bride. Yeah, very nice. Very nice. The creature, though, apparently listened to St. Columba because it stopped suddenly recoiling
fuck you yelling about out there?
It was being pulled back by invisible Scottish ropes. It fled the scene in much haste.
Boing.
And the locals looked at this as a miracle from God. I didn't mean to say it like that, but it came out like a Blues Brother. It's because, like, from the Chicago area, you know? Yeah. You know who else is from around the Chicago area?
Huh.
Up in that Midwest area? Yeah, Barb Novi.
Oh, yeah, Barb is definitely up there.
Yeah. Barb believes in a few miracles from God, you know?
She certainly would.
Oh, she does, especially after she had that trouble with her that nephew of hers, the one that was doing the dust. Talking about Tommy, that's right. Talking about Tommy Nobles.
Tommy Nobles up in North Dakota.
You know, he didn't have a lot to do, so he ended up just doing a lot of coke. You know, a lot of the white powder.
Snow outside, snow up my nose.
Inside, right? Going down the hills, right?
Not much hills up here, though.
No.
Very flat.
Yeah, when you're doing all that white powder.
Same as my nose because of the busted septum.
Exactly. It just kind of pours out, you know, so. Yeah. And you know what the cure is for that? A good plate of master choke.
Oh!
Thankfully, Barb says, that's the true miracle of God.
A good night's sleep and a nice plate of master choli will get you fair in life.
It's true. God loves you.
God loves you.
Let's get the fuck out of here. That's what, you know, that's what Barb would say. Because, then, you know, you could be a Christian up there in the Midwest and still say some things like, fuck. I don't trust it fucking.
Oh, she's so nice.
You know what?
Eat you a sweetheart. That's their way of saying fuck you.
I know. Like, you know what? My little jabroni, bless your heart.
Bless your heart.
Anyway.
Yeah, there's no segue out of that.
No, not really. But for hundreds of years after that miracle from God, many locals saw something large and unexplainable within the waters of the loch. But it wasn't until the 1800s and onward that things really started to ramp up regarding the water beast in these murky waters.
The water?
That's for my Jersey friends out there. Yeah. The water beast?
The water beast.
In 1871, D. McKenzie saw what looked like a large capsized boat wriggling and churning in the water before swimming away at a high rate of speed. In 1888,
That was the whole thing. They just saw something wriggling and
swimming. Yeah, like a large fat thing, you know?
You know, they didn't have computers or internet or anything back then. I guess any little bit of something is like worth writing down.
Exactly.
Okay.
You know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Worship God?
Read a book, maybe.
Read a book. I don't know if people could read back then.
People could read back then.
Educated rich people could read.
Yeah, I guess.
Everybody else had to rely upon pictures.
The odd thing now is that nobody reads.
That's true. And nobody can write in cursive anymore. It's a lost form.
Yeah.
I digress.
It's because we don't do checks.
No, we don't. And nowadays, I don't. I wonder if people would be confused by a check. If I gave a check to somebody youngish.
Youngish.
Don't
you come on over here, youngish.
Just give him
I'm gonna write you a check.
What is
12
this?
Cents on your birthday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm your grandfather.
Yeah, that's what Grandpappy did.
Well,
in 1888, though.
1888.
Alexander MacDonald, that's a Scottish name, saw what appeared to be a large, stubby-legged animal resembling... resembling a four-year-old boy, resembling an oversized salamander, propel itself out of the water, making that exact noise, undulating onto the shore about 50 feet from where he stood.
A classic curly.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then it, like, spun around and on the ground doing that.
Sweetly.
On July... Now, we're going to bump up a little here to 1933. On July
22nd... I mean, 1888 ain't really that long ago.
No, not really.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah. And now we're in the 1933. 30s. Yeah, we're good. July 22nd, to be specific. George Spicer.
Oh, that's a good name.
I know, that guy is...
That's like a noir detective.
Yeah, Detective George Spicer.
Yeah.
Yeah, and his wife. They were driving on a road around the loch when they saw a large animal crossing the road in front of them.
Oh, it's extra.
Yeah.
Cool.
Great movie.
Yeah.
The Beast. I kind of think you should play like detective music behind as I'm saying this.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. The Beast was undulating across the road, heading towards the waters with a small animal in its mouth. They described it as being a large creature with a thick, round body and a large, long, narrow neck. Actually, it wouldn't be a large. I mistyped that. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
My fault. It was a long, narrow neck. Similar to the trunk of an elephant.
Oh!
Ah!
This fucking banana nose motherfucker.
Oh!
Just crawling around on the goddamn road. Okay.
Yeah. It waved up and down, apparently, the neck and the head as it quickly crossed the road.
Ooh.
Yeah. Like a wacky racer, and it disappeared into the brush and foliage. They couldn't see any legs, though.
Sometimes I laugh like Muttley.
Yeah, I've done that too in the past. Yeah, like,
yeah.
I'd like to laugh like, is it Snidely? Because I have a mustache now, and I like to twirl it. You know.
Yeah.
I can do that. Almost. I'm getting there.
Yeah.
They couldn't see any legs, though. But they did indicate that it may have had webbed feet. Now, what is interesting about this sighting and this description is this is the first recorded sighting where Nessie starts to resemble a plesiosaur.
Yeah.
Prior to this, it was just a fat little water bear, you know?
This is evolution. It's happening in front of our eyes.
Stop. Now, this idea of Nessie being a living descendant of a four-finned, long-necked dinosaur reached critical mass when on April 21st, 1934, the Daily Mail published what is arguably one of the most famous photos of any cryptid. We're talking about the surgeon's photo.
The surgeon's photo.
I mentioned it earlier in comparison to the champ photo.
Yeah.
There was a Dr. Robert Wilson, Dr. Bobby Wilson, a London gynecologist.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well.
I didn't know that. I was like, oh, okay.
Fascinating.
Dr. Bobby, gynecologist.
Dr. Bobby.
Any
gynecologist is probably going to sound like
Robert Evans. Yeah. Yeah. Dr. Robert Wilson, gynecologist. He was visiting the lock when he supposedly saw the beast rise from the deep, dark waters.
The hell's that out there?
Exactly. He just happened to have a camera handy and snapped four shots, of which only two came out. Of those two, one was pretty blurry, but showed what appeared to be a long neck diving into the water, while the other was clear, static, and almost poised. That photo showed what appeared to be a long neck with a small head hoisted out of the water attached to a humped back body.
I mean, it's like, it's cool.
It is a cool photo, considering that it came out in 1934. Yeah. But for 60 years, this was regarded as the quintessential photo of Nessie. It was published everywhere, and from henceforth on, Nessie was now a long-necked cryptid of the deep. And that photo, I mean, Time Life used that photo. Yeah. It was everywhere. Yeah.
Nessie was Man of the Year that year, right?
Yes. Any show that you watch, I used to watch Arthur C. Clarke's Mysterious World.
Yeah,
they show that
in
photo.
Search of.
Yeah, In Search Of with Leonard Nimoy. They'd show that photo. That was the photo. I think for a long time, it was the most popular cryptid anything.
I mean, that or the Patterson film.
Right.
Like, those two are...
You know, I think over time... We'll get into why, but now, like, the Mothman now is, I think, going to usurp that photo. Yeah. That photo was a really big deal.
Yeah.
Like, it went all over the world. And people were like, oh my God, Nessie is real.
Yeah.
They thought this was definitive proof that Nessie is a long-necked dinosaur something. And now.
Ooh, a visual?
No visual for the Loch Ness.
This one, it's in my brain.
Yeah, it's so burned into our brains.
That baby's living up there, rent-free, 24/7.
Exactly. I dream about that photo, sadly.
I dream about that photo.
I don't want to.
Yeah.
But now, we come to the final lake beast of this episode.
Yeah.
The one that, in my researching, has usurped my favoritism for the Nessie of the Loch. The one that, according to Monarch Henchman number 21, is the real fucking deal.
The actual champ.
The actual champ. That's right. The water beast that, because of its Canadian heritage, has universal health care. Doesn't have to worry. It doesn't have to worry about going bankrupt in simply trying to pay for a fucking kidney stone. We are talking about the Canadian legend, Ogopogo.
Boingo.
Exactly. Weird science.
Yeah. What? Ogopogo?
Ogopogo.
Boingo, boingo.
Which honestly does sound like an Oingo Boingo song.
It does.
I know. Ogopogo is a serpent-like water beast that has for hundreds of years resided in Lake Okanagan in British Columbia, Canada.
Fucking, you can nail that, and you fucked up Canada.
I
don't get this. Canada?
Canada, yes. I'm going to get a tattoo that says, "Fuck you, a boy."
Don't do that. Please don't do that.
Right on my arms. Like, people get, like mom or love, whatever.
I'm just going to say, "Fuck you,
a boy." I'm going to get on my knuckles, you know.
Yeah. This dude, I don't know too much about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About Ogopogo?
Yeah, about Oingo
Boingo. This will be fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lake Okanagan was named after the First Nations people of the Okanagan Valley. So unlike Lake Champlain, which took over a white man's name, this still retains the First Nations.
Yup, nup!
Exactly. Can I get a yup, nup? For the First Nations.
Yes.
It is one of five interconnected freshwater fjord lakes that were created by a melting glacier. Ogopogo has been more accurately described as being a 50-foot-long, serpentine-like creature with skin that is smooth and dark, with a body that is thicker than a telephone pole and about 50 feet long. It apparently can move through the water at a very high rate of speed, undulating up and down effortlessly.
Do
like
a shot
snake.
Every time he says undulate.
Oh, yeah. I've often thought we should, well, not we, but the audience
the
out there.
Way.
The royal way. Every time I say thick, because I like to
yeah,
work
yeah,
thick.
Yeah.
Every time
words.
I say thick.
You got words.
Gotta
undulate.
Just do that shot.
Thick.
Undulate is good,
Viscous.
Too. Yeah. But, yeah, Ogopogo apparently undulates up and down effortlessly like a snake at the surface of the water. This is like classic sea serpent, but we're talking lake serpent.
Yeah.
Now, this is where it gets a little history that I think is very interesting. Ogopogo, that's not the original name.
Oh.
Ogopogo was originally referred to by the First Nations people as Naitaka, which translates to water demon or sacred creature of the water.
Cool.
It was believed by the First Nations people to be an evil supernatural entity.
Hell yeah, I'm into this guy.
It is. It's really cool. It required sacrifice in order to cross the water safely.
Oh, man, you just got to toss a kid in there.
Well, they decided to stop tossing kids in. Yeah, so for hundreds of years, they would literally do animal sacrifices routinely. Anytime they had to cross the water, I'm sorry, animal lovers, they would kill a dog, they would kill any animal, you know, to appease the wrath of Naitaka. Now, in 1924, there was a British music hall hit called Ogopogo, the Funny Foxtrot. It's a whimsical big band song about a funny little bug-eyed creature that can play a banjo.
Did you listen to it?
I did. I will send you the link so you can hear it.
Yeah.
And there's even a cool photo for the sheet music.
Oh, that's great.
It's awesome, yeah. It's a whimsical big band song about a funny little bug-eyed creature that can play the banjo. But in 1926, 2 years after this song came out, a parody of the song was performed at a luncheon on the north side of Lake Okanagan with some altered lyrics that read, "His mother was an earwig, his father was a whale, a little bit of head and hardly a tail, and Ogopogo was his name." Wow.
Yeah, okay.
So those in attendance at this luncheon thought that song was just so darn cute and so funny that the next day, the local newspaper reported on the song, and shortly thereafter, the local legend of Naitaka now became known as Ogopogo. Which I feel generally bad, because I think Naitaka is pretty fucking badass.
Naitaka is pretty cool.
And they ended up naming it.
They weirded out it.
A banjo, a little banjo fidget with
some
googly
banjo
eyes.
Banjo bitch over here.
Fucking white people ruin everything.
Yeah, usually.
I can say that because I'm white.
Yeah.
It's true.
And we've ruined our fair amount of things.
I know. I've ruined many things in my life.
You ruined a car last week.
I did. I mean, I didn't, but I'm living with the consequences of whatever.
It's debatable.
Yeah.
Agree to disagree, maybe.
I know. Now, as far as the evidence of Ogopogo, most of the pictures and films that have been captured of the elusive beast, they're nearly identical in quality to pictures and videos of Champ and Nessie. That is to say, nothing more than vague long shots of something causing a wake or a wave in the water.
Why is it never someone who just knows how to work a fucking camera?
Right, exactly. I know. Well, and a lot of those are taken from a distance, though, you know?
Yeah.
But the problem with those photos and videos is that nothing can be positively identified other than maybe a boat in the distance or a floating log. But there are two recent instances of Ogopogo that I can't get out of my head after I saw them.
Yeah?
And they defy, in my mind at this point, logical explanation. Because I'm trying to disprove.
Yeah.
Right? I'm going through that process, but I'm stunned. I'm stunned at this point.
Okay.
So, in August of 2008,
wow.
Sean Valoria and his girlfriend were driving along Lake Okanagan when they spotted something protruding out of the water in the distance.
The fuck is that?
Exactly. They got out.
Yeah.
They snapped some photos, and luckily for them, a boat was also passing by in the foreground, and in doing so, provides some idea as to the scale and size of this long, slender something that is sticking up out of the water. In the series of photographs that were taken, the long, slender object appears to dive down forwards into the water and swim off into the deep. So, I've saved one of those photos.
Yeah.
I'm going to text it to you now.
Cool. My thought process is the same as it was, you know, with our Bigfoot talk that we had the other day off mic. If you're looking for that, that's not on mic. That's just shit we talk about over breakfast around here.
Yeah.
But to get something that can live that fucking long, a serpent no less, I mean, like, reptiles can live a long ass time.
Right.
But we're talking hundreds of years for some of these creatures. They have to propagate their species.
Right.
So how many are living in a lake of this size, and how are we not seeing dozens?
I don't know.
Hundreds of them.
Well, I just sent you the photo.
Yeah.
You should have two of them. They're the same photo.
Enhanced.
So one is the photo in its whole, and then one is kind of, so you can see the boat in the foreground.
Yeah.
And then in the upper left corner, you can see something sticking out of the water.
It's like white and red.
Yeah. Compared to the boat, it's pretty large.
It's like the size of the boat.
Yeah.
The fuck is that, though?
Yeah. Now, I did not send you the second photo, which shows it swimming, and you can see a wake coming off of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I don't know. It's a cool photo, also, and I think, and because of the boat that's in the foreground.
I think that helps.
That does help. But what is it? I don't know. I can't figure it out yet.
I mean, my brain wants to say it's like, what would you call that? Like a tentacle off a giant squid or some shit, you know? Because there's not, like, definition, like, that's not a head, you know, like you would get with a Nessie photo or a champ,
unless it's a giant eel of some kind.
Yeah, I don't know,
but if it is an eel that size,
that's
a
terrifying,
really large
that's
eel,
just as terrifying,
because it is literally compared to the size, it is the size of the boat sticking straight up.
Yeah, I'm wondering what kind of boat that is, though, because it looks almost like a dinghy.
It doesn't look like a super large boat, but like a speedboat. Like
One of those, like, two passenger kind of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just last year, Dale Manchar and Myrna Germaine Brown, two local fishermen, were out on Lake Okanagan when in the distance they saw something large just below the surface of the water. Now, being that they were responsible fishermen, they felt obligated to get a closer look and to check it out. In
we're
the event...
Kill it.
No, not. That didn't even cross their mind.
Yeah.
It was, they wanted to check it out in the event that it was a floating log that should be reported so as to not cause any harm to other boaters.
Right, right.
When they got closer to the object, which at this point was just off to the side of their boat, they snapped a picture and as soon as doing so realized that whatever was just below the surface appeared to have two horns and was staring directly back at them.
Cool.
And do you know that feeling? I don't know if this ever happened to you, where you see something or you experience something, you get a feeling. It's like your stomach sinks into a queasy, and you realize, I should not be here.
Yeah, I've had that a few times.
Yeah, that happened to them, and they immediately got the fuck out. They did not want to stay around.
Yeah,
because they thought, if this is Ogopogo, we need to get out.
Right, right.
Because based on its size compared to the boat, it was about the whatever's in the water is about 3 feet wide.
Okay.
So the published photo I have on my phone.
Ooh.
I will text it to
this
you.
This one I'm looking forward
to. Yeah, this one was new to me. And I think it's also a little freaky.
Ooh, that's a good photo.
Yeah. It's pretty high res. I actually found a version that's even more high res than the one I sent you.
That is interesting.
Right?
It's
weird. Definitely weird. Now my thought process is I kept thinking, maybe it's the corpse of an animal, right? Maybe those are hooves. But usually the animals that have hooves, they're cloven hooves, you know?
My brain's like, this is something that fell into the water and rusted.
I don't know. It kind
of
looks
part
like
of a ship or something.
It kind of looks like a dragon head.
Yeah, right? Or it looks like something that oxidized and has, like, I mean, not barnacles, but, like, you know, a weathering to it.
But it's, you know, the sea serpents and even lake serpents were described as having horns.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, that is, it's kind of weird that it would have what looks like
horns,
stubby horns sticking out.
Yeah.
And then maybe my mind is doing the top down bottom up processing, but I'm thinking, like, wow, it looks like a dragon head of some kind. Like, is it staring at me? I can't tell.
Yeah, you do the top down processing. I just go with the Occam's razor approach of that's just some garbage floating in some water, possibly a downed piece of metal.
I don't know.
I mean, it's a really cool photo.
It is cool, yeah.
And it makes you ask some questions. Yeah, that's a cool photo.
I like it. I like that it's not just some blurry piece of shit photo of a boat in a distance.
That is the clearest, best photo.
So those two photos of Champ, I think, are fun to look at. Especially the one with the boat in the foreground. Yep.
You said Champ.
Oh, I'm sorry. Ogopogo. Yes. Thank you very much. Well, regarding the aforementioned evidence of Champ and Nessie.
Yeah.
Now for the bad news.
Yeah.
We're getting into it.
Please.
The detailed color photo of Champ taken by Sandra Mansi in 1977, most likely it was part of a log that was sticking up out of the water. When pressed with questions regarding the incident, Mansi could not remember or could not say or would not say the specific location that the photo was taken.
It's on a fucking lake. What do you want?
Well, if you...
It's a big lake.
Yeah, it's a big lake. But if you were on vacation and you are going to say that I saw a dinosaur rise out of the water, that's such a big event.
Yeah.
I would remember where I saw that dinosaur.
Yeah.
She wouldn't, or she couldn't, or she wouldn't. She couldn't provide a specific location. I use finger quotes while I was talking to you. Yes, yes, yes. I know what happened. Yes, yes. Yes. Nor could she provide the original negatives. As the published photo, and you pointed out, published photo is cropped, so you can't see the beast compared to anything in the foreground.
Yeah.
So you have no idea about its actual size. The general area that she said it was taken in, she did say a general area, not the specific area, but the general area only has a water depth of about 14 feet. Not very suitable for a large plesiosaur-type creature. So as much as I want to believe in Champ, or that photo of Champ, the evidence and her lack of reliability, just not enough.
Right.
I need more.
Yeah.
I need more. Give me some more Champ. As for Nessie and the famous surgeon's photograph, I think you already know the answer to this.
Yeah, it's just like wood, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a very elaborate hoax.
Yeah.
The famous long neck and the head that were photographed were nothing more than bits of carved wood attached to a children's submarine toy.
Yeah.
Immediately after the photo was taken of that toy with the little head sticking out, the hoaxers thought they were going to be busted by the local water bailiff. I didn't know that was a thing, but apparently it's like a cop of the water.
Yeah.
The cop of the water.
Water cop.
Water bailiff's coming to NBC. Streaming on... It'd probably be streaming on Netflix. It's just so fucking stupid.
Yeah.
So these hoaxers stomped on the toy, crushing it and pushing it into the muck below, where it is still supposedly residing to this day. So it's still in the lock. Right? As for the interpretation...
The fucked up thing about that, though, is that that photo is still being circulated as if it's real.
Right. It's not.
And it's been proven. No.
Even Monarch Henchman 21 talked about that in the episode, that it is a children's submarine toy.
Yeah.
It's fake.
Yeah.
It was admitted to.
Yeah. Yeah. It's still circulating.
And once you realize that it's fake, you realize that those large waves and wakes are really just small ripples in the water, because it was literally taken just a few feet offshore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Remember the interpretation and the representation of Nessie as being a plesiosaur-like beast?
Yeah.
That idea only came about in 1933. Prior to that, the legend of Nessie was decidedly a different look. I jokingly said like a fat water bear, but yeah, that's how people viewed Nessie, like a fat whale, a fat water bear with stubby legs.
Yeah, but it had land access, too.
It would undulate on the, a giant elephant seal.
Or a lungfish.
Yeah, a big fat tardigrade.
Yeah.
But why the sudden change? Why the sudden change overnight from that to a plesiosaur? Well, the answer to that, I thought this was interesting. Once I read it, I was like, oh, of course.
Was Arthur Conan Doyle's Lost World?
You're not far off.
Yeah.
It was the film King Kong.
Oh, okay.
The 1933 film King Kong was a worldwide smash that had far-reaching influence. For the first time ever, nearly anyone could see a film that had what appeared to be live-action dinosaurs that moved before your very eyes.
It was beauty that killed the beast.
Exactly. And in King Kong, there is a plesiosaur that's featured in a scene.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm. So that, coupled with the dinosaur fever that was sweeping the world, influenced how people perceived mythological lake monsters, whether they be real or not. We talked about the dinosaur fever in the Mokele Mbembe episode.
The fever was going, it was crazy.
It was a fever dream, and thanks to that, Mokele was meant to, thought to be a living sauropod.
Yeah.
So.
That's an episode. That's a good episode.
Yeah. We shout out to, yeah, Mothman. Listen to Mothman, and listen to Mokele Mbembe.
Yup, nup.
Mm-hmm. So, what are they then? These lake beasts, if they're not a real life dinosaur, if it's not a floating log or a children's toy, what is it that people see? Because sometimes people do see something, some kind of animal swimming through and causing waves and wakes.
I mean, I got my take on it.
Tell me. I've got a list here.
I mean, they're not anything. They're stories to stop children from drowning in lakes.
That's true. That's what they are. Yeah. The origin goes back to water kelpies.
Yeah. Especially during times where, like, you know, you weren't really making the best of flotation devices or boats.
Yep.
Or there was actually, like, there's fucking snakes in that lake. Stay away from the lake. That's what those stories are about. And then you add to the myth, you know, it's like La Llorona.
Yeah.
You know, just fucking don't go out at night and hang out by water. It's dangerous.
And you're not wrong. That's actually one of the answers.
That is what it is.
But some people do videotape something swimming. You can see something.
Yeah.
So,
but your brain is already, it's like going into a haunted house. Right. Your brain already wants you to be scared.
Exactly.
You know.
So you are right. The legend of water kelpies being passed down. Kids, you can't swim, so don't go in there.
Yeah.
But there are other answers to explain the actual stuff that has been cited.
Yeah.
Which these are real world answers.
I mean, you know, like about matrixing, right?
Yeah.
Of your brain wants to make faces and shapes
sure.
out of things
that
aren't really malleable or applicable to the situation. That's why when you watch like haunted house footage or something, you're like, oh, that's the shape of a person over there.
Oh my God.
But it's actually just the way the shadow hits the wall. And you're like, my brain sees a person. It doesn't want it to be a shadow.
Here are some real world physical answers for you.
Yeah.
That will explain some of the sightings.
Yeah. I hate that this show is all about you losing hope and belief in things.
Actually, this one is kind of fun. There's one at
the
end.
It hurts me that's what this
is about.
It's fine.
Well, no, because I do learn things.
But I just like stories. That's what I like.
Stories are cool.
Yeah.
You know, passing down stories from one generation to another. I'm going to pass down the story of s'mores and whores and toots and boots.
I think that this show is kind of important for that, though. Because people don't tell these stories
I know.
Anymore.
I'm never going to have grandkids, but I would like to imagine that some grandkids be like, I remember Grandpa talking about the toots and the boots, you know?
And the s'mores.
I love the s'mores and the whores. Yeah. He was also talking about something called Mokele Mbembe. Whoop whoop.
He kept talking about an aunt that we never met. She Barb Novak.
People are going to be hiring a detective. I need to find if Barb's real. Detectives are going to be like trying to find somebody named Barb Novak who specializes in Master Trolley and how to deal with the problems with Tommy Nobles.
Italian dish.
It's a Midwestern dish.
It's
based
co-opted.
On it. Yes.
Co-opted.
Co-opted Midwestern classic dish. Used in a Pyrex bowl.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Capital P, lowercase p.
Now, I don't know about the goddamn P's, Brian. Okay?
It's about retaining heat.
Right, okay.
I believe the capital P.
Oh, that's the oven safe one. Exactly.
Got it.
I do know about the oven safe Pyrex. Yeah, exactly. Because you gotta, if you want to go to Master Tool, you gotta make that right in the oven, right in that dish.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's a one pot deal.
Well,
like most Midwestern dishes.
That's true.
Yeah. Back to the rivers.
Back to the river, the lake monsters. There are some explanations for real things that people have seen. This one I think is pretty cool. And this is one I've actually known about, but I did learn something else. We are talking about the sturgeon.
Oh, yeah, I love a good sturgeon.
The sturgeon is a type of bony plated fish that it looks like a dinosaur fish, and it's found throughout the world in rivers and lakes all across the world.
You yell barracuda, you get a huh?
What?
Yeah. But you yell shark.
Exactly. But honestly, barracuda are pretty badass, too. Barracuda have.
Yeah, dude, there's a fucking great song about
them. Great song. They've got a row of teeth that are crazy. But the sturgeon, though, there's different types of sturgeon, but they, if you ever have seen one, they...
Rod sturgeon. Bald sturgeon.
They look very weird.
Yeah.
They look pretty fucked up.
They look like, you know, dinosaurs.
Yeah. Well, the largest sturgeon ever caught on record was a female, caught in 1827, and she measured over 23 feet 7 inches long.
That's a big sturgeon.
and she weighed 3,400 pounds.
Wow, that's good eats.
And so, point is, these fish are in these rivers massive. And lakes. They're in the Scott. They're in the Loch.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can't remember which guy saw a large fish thrashing about in the water. Probably a sturgeon.
Could have been a sturgeon.
You see a giant sturgeon swimming past you, I'm going to freak the fuck out.
Yeah.
If I see a 20-foot long fish that's bony.
Fish are already genuinely terrifying.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, look, there's a lot of things that H.P. Lovecraft was wrong about, but he was right about fish.
Yeah, fish can be scary.
They're scary.
Yeah. This one is a pretty fun one. Another answer is, and this goes back to Champ, actually, but it also applies to this Loch Ness and Nessie. Trees. In the Loch Ness, Scottish pines will sink to the bottom.
Yes.
Gas within the decomposing trees are trapped by the surrounding sap. Eventually, the gas pressure of a decomposing tree will cause the natural resin seal to essentially rupture. You've basically got like a tank of air.
Yeah.
Like from Jaws.
Yeah.
You have Smile. A tree that is going to essentially shoot to the surface in a spectacular fashion.
That's pretty cool.
Which is pretty fucking cool.
And then it falls over.
Yep.
So it looks like a fish or something diving. Right,
exactly. Yeah. But what about the serpents? What about serpents?
They're just fucking lake snakes and shit, and they're terrifying.
They are? Yes. Well, people have seen and captured on a video long creatures that look to undulate up and down, gliding through the water like a devil snake.
Like a damn devil snake.
But what could they possibly be? Sturgeons, they're out. They swim. They don't slither like a snake. A log bobs up and down, but it doesn't swim with intent and direction. Well, the answer to the potential lake serpent that people see and have been on videotape, because I've seen a few, is actually pretty goddamn adorable and cute.
What we got?
In Ben Radford and Joe Nichols' book, Lake Monster Mysteries, a study was conducted that compared lake monster sightings and their locations to that of the common lake and river otter.
Aww.
The locations
are terrifying. The big ones? You ever seen those?
I've seen big ones, yeah.
Those are fucking scary.
They're still kind of cute, though.
They are scary.
But what they did was they overlapped the locations of the sightings of these lake monsters with the where the river otters were located at.
Yeah, yeah.
And they overlapped perfectly.
Really?
As it turns out, and I didn't know this, otters will often swim in a single file line.
To hide their numbers.
Exactly. When you line up 4 or 5 full-grown otters, and otters can get fairly large.
Yeah.
When you line up 4 or 5, each with dark, smooth fur, all swimming up and down and gliding through the water with ease, you get the classic tale of mistaken identity of a lake serpent.
Ah.
So most likely, Ogopogo, probably just a line of otters.
Possibility.
Yeah.
Paired with the story of quick going near the fucking rivers.
Exactly. Right. Because you'll die. And if you gotta go kill a dog, don't kill a dog, folks, please. Not on my watch.
Not even an ugly dog?
No, I love all dogs. All dogs go to heaven, Brian.
Heaven's not real. Just for dogs.
Just for dogs, it's
just
true.
For dogs.
Yes. And that, my friends, is the brief but exhaustive overview of lake monsters.
Crazy.
Is it? Is it crazy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the nice thing is, I did want to point this out, it doesn't matter if they're real or not, because the nice thing about lake monsters, just like Mothman, it is great for these small towns because it increases tourism.
Yeah. And on top of that, it kind of probably still instills a little bit of fear.
Oh, definitely.
Of, like, quit fucking around by the lake.
Yeah. Because, you know, the people that see something and they don't realize that it's probably a line of
sink ships.
Exactly.
See something, say something.
We talked about people that think they see Bigfoot. It changes their lives, and they're like, I'm not fucking going in the woods now, you know?
I wanted to point out something real quick.
Yes.
Because I had this kind of stat. Giant river otters can grow between 3 and 5.5 feet in length from head to tail.
Yes. Yeah.
And weigh between 40 and 70 pounds. They're big.
Right. They're big.
And if you get a good amount of them swimming with each other.
Remember the original description of Ogopogo was dark, shiny skin.
Yeah, yeah.
Otters have dark fur, right?
Yeah,
it's wet, it's smooth. Ogopogo was no thicker than a telephone pole, 50 feet long.
All these descriptions.
It's just kind of like
sound a, very sexual.
It is. Yeah, I think otters can be a little bit sexy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
They're notorious rapers.
But they got such cute hands.
But is there really consent in the animal world?
The animal world?
You know?
I don't know, man.
Everybody's laughing.
Grab-handing.
Cornholing. Having a good time.
Do they? Do they cornhole?
It's an Arrested Development.
Yeah, okay, I don't
know. Quote. Yeah, that was interesting.
It was fun. You know, yeah. Lake monsters are a classic staple of the cryptid world, and they're all over the place.
And surprisingly, a more largely... Well, I guess there's a lot more that I don't know about, but there's a lot rooted in, like, Native American history.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, pretty much everything I read of even lake monsters that I didn't include with this, they're all Native American legends.
Jazz, comic books, apple pie, lake monsters. That's America, baby.
It is. Yeah.
Oh, and baseball.
Well, is it? I guess. I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, there you go.
Apple pie was probably taken from the Germans or the French, really.
Oh, it's the Germans.
If we're going to be real about it.
But they do have the strudel.
Yeah, exactly.
They got the apple strudel, the apple fritter, Imperium. The tart. You know, they got the wrestling.
Yeah, yeah.
They love the wrestling.
So I guess that's it, huh?
That's it, man. Yeah. Lake monsters. What you got going? You got it. Hey, guess what? Promo time!
Yeah, I guess so.
You do got stuff coming up.
Well, this comes out tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Which is September 5th. Yep. If you're listening to this the day it comes out. In, 11 days? The 16th? I will be at the Punk Rock Flea Market in Knoxville, Tennessee, which is a one-day show. $5 entry.
Nice.
I believe free parking.
No reason for you people out there not to go.
There's like 7-8 bands that are playing, 150 vendors, one day only.
You're in, you're out, you listen to music, you want something, you buy it.
Yeah,
right then
I think it's like noon to 10 or something. Like, it's a long day, but I'm inside.
Sounds fun, though. That. Yeah, that's cool.
Bunch of food trucks, all that shit.
Yeah, for $5?
Yeah.
Can't go wrong with that.
And that's it for this month.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got nothing.
You got a sale probably coming up.
I do. I'll have a ready-made sale probably in a week or two. So keep
Around
an eye
the time
out.
I'll be doing my thing. Okay.
Yeah, so just keep an eye out on my Instagram to see what I'm posting, because I'm not, at this point, I don't have any other cons since I'm bowing out of Memphis.
You don't have any open orders right now?
No, I just got some private orders I have to fulfill.
Yeah.
But I think I'm done with open orders.
So open orders
for right now
might be happening in a month.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? You're right. I think I might try to do a new design for October for the spooky month.
Yeah.
I may do an open order of a brand new design. I just got to work it out.
Yeah. Have you started it, or is it still up in the brain
space? I did
space?
Some sketches.
Okay.
I did some sketches, and I'm going to say it might be pumpkin involved, because you know what? Fuck, check out these fucking pumpkins, man. Pumpkins are fucking scary, man.
Pumpkins rule.
Yeah, does it go? So it might involve some pumpkins and some glitter.
Nice.
So an open order, possibly in early October, but before then, I'll probably do a ready-made sale.
Cool.
So buy stuff from me at epion5.com and Instagram, and buy stuff from you at Aerosol Pro.
Usually just in person. I don't really do internet sales
as
much anymore.
You never know.
Honestly, an order could have come in like a month ago, and
I haven't checked.
My phone doesn't update me on them, really.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to sound depressed when I say that. No.
It's okay.
Well, that's the end of the episode, everybody. I hope you enjoyed Lake Monsters!
Yeah, that's fun.
Sea serpents! I'm not sure. I do know what we're talking about next month, but I'll keep it a surprise. It's fine. It's all good.
Oh, I mean, I think we've teased it a little
bit. We have
bit.
Teased it, but it is.
It will be our, our Halloween episode.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It will continue a annual
a grand tradition. We might even have next year's already planned.
That's true. Yeah, exactly. So I want to thank everybody for listening to this episode. I appreciate it. Smash that like button and subscribe. Don't have to do that. Actually, you don't have to smash anything. But you know, if you're following the Instagram, like it, share it, tell your friends, send us a comment, a question, I don't care, or criticism.
You can do that on Instagram at Electric Monster Pod. Yeah, that's it.
And that's it. So thanks for listening. Thanks, Brian, for joining me.
Thanks. I was already here.
All right. And with that being said, tschüss, auf Wiedersehen und bis später.
Who knows what waits for us in nature's no man's land?